let's jump in. So Deuteronomy chapter 20. Who has a heading on in their Bible? Who has headings? What's your heading for this chapter? Regulations concerning war. Yeah, it's recording. It's good to go. Yeah. And what have we been talking about the past few weeks? Spiritual warfare. Yeah. Yeah, so I figured we'd see what the first and foremost thing here is with these guys. When the Israelites were called into battle, and I thought it was kind of fitting as I was reading through here. Kind of works. Going to war. Okay. Any other headings? 20:20 What's that? Ten Commandments. Ooh. Was I reading the wrong one or were you? I don't know. That's Exodus 20. Yes. Cool. Well, laws for warfare is what mine says. So let's just jump into it and get her going. It says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. So in that very first line, very first part, what is he encouraging us? When you go to warfare, and don't be afraid. Yeah, we talked about that last week, of fear, and what are we afraid of, you know? The fact that we don't have anything to be afraid of. We've not been given a spirit of fear. Right, he protects us, but he doesn't keep us from the battle. We're still called to go to the battle, yeah. Right, yeah. Don't worry about what you see. It may look intimidating. There may be more of them and more chariots, but trust me, right? He's saying, trust me. All right, verse 3. It says, he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. Right? Again, he's just encouraging them not to be afraid. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Right? We're not doing this on our own. And it's the same when we go into spiritual battle, like we've been talking about. We don't go into it on our own. And we definitely don't go into it of our own strength, or even of the flesh at all. We've been talking the past few weeks about how spiritual battle impacts us, even in the physical, right? Does anybody remember some of the things from last week? We talked about chronic fear and how it affects us. Do you remember? What were some of the other things that fear does to us? Do you remember? Or even from the other weeks with shame and rejection. Do you remember how rejection impacts us? Physical pain, right? Yeah. Manifests as physical pain often. Depression. Yep. Anxiety, for sure. Yeah. Chronic fear actually can give you, they say, is what gives people ulcers when they're stressed out and that kind of thing is how their bodies wind up sick a lot of times. So when the enemy attacks us and uses some of these ideas and tactics and lies, he can attack our thought processes, right? And in a sense, he's able to attack our bodies as well because we allow him, right? We allow those thoughts. So that's where we've been going with all these past few weeks, but let's keep going on here. So God's with us when we go into battle, obviously. Let's jump to chapter 5 here. We all know this. You're all good Christians. You all know these things, right? I don't really have to remind you. We're on verse 5. It says, the officials shall speak to the people, saying, who is the man that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise he might die in the battle, and another man would dedicate it. Interesting thought. Why do you think this is important? Why are they telling men to go home? They're about to go into battle, and the enemy has more people. And yet they're saying, if you have a house and you haven't dedicated it yet, go home and dedicate your house. Let's keep reading. Who is the man that has planted a vineyard and has not begun to use its fruit? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle, and another man would begin to use its fruit. Seeing a trend? Let's keep going. And who is the man that is engaged to a woman and has not married her? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle, and another man would marry her. What's he getting at? What is God trying to tell the people? Right. Yeah, don't fight. If you're not fully here, don't fight. Let's read the next one here. It says, officers shall speak further to the people and say, who is the man that is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his house, so that he might not make his brother's heart melt like his heart. Seems a little harsh, doesn't it? But what does God want from his people here? Focus, yeah. Focus and trust, I think. Right? If you're faint-hearted and if you're not in this, it's okay. There's no ramifications. Just go home. You know, go be with your wife. Go dedicate your home. Go make sure that the grapes get pressed and you get to have a glass of grape juice. You know? If your mind is going to be divided, you don't have to be here. Right? Interesting. I can see all the wheels turning. What's what are you thinking? Let's just go. Yeah, distraction is what we're talking about today. What do we mean by distraction? Things not going according to plan. Kind of, yeah, that can be a distraction, yeah. Right, yeah, you know you have one major task and you should be accomplishing that, right? And it's these other things that pull us away from the main task, right? What else? What do you think of when you hear the word distraction? Secondary things. Not focused on what we really should be doing. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know how much I was going to talk about this today, but kind of like what? The consequences? Oh. Right. Yep. Yeah. If you're distracted, you're the first one to die. Yeah. If you go into battle and you're distracted, you're the first one downed by the enemy. And somebody else is going to have to haul you out of there. Right? Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. I like that, Cecil. Distraction. How many people have encounters with distraction? Am I the only one? Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Whoo! Praise the Lord. All right. Oh. You know, as a kid, I was labeled distracted. No, really. I'm not kidding. I mean, as a teenager, especially, but more even by the time I was in grade 4, my French and homeroom teacher, she was boring. She won't listen to this, so it's okay. But she didn't keep my attention in grade 4. I remember staring out the window thinking, like, kind of like those deeper questions, like, there must be more to life than this. And thinking, like, why did God make me in grade 4? And wondering these questions. And she wasn't going to tell me those answers, so I knew she just wanted to tell me that Le Chien was like, is that cat? Oh, dog. See, I'm still terrible at French. Like, anyway. There were deeper questions that were in my heart that were distracting me from what other people thought I should be paying attention to. And so I was labeled distracted. I was put on medication from that age, basically, from grade 4 onwards. We talk about other people today being put on medication, but that's happened for a long time. where that's an easy solution. So distraction hits home for me a little bit too much sometimes. But I've gotten a lot better. There's no medication in my life anymore. And I think I've learned how to cope and learned to focus. What's wrong with being distracted? What's the problem with distraction? Yeah, you don't learn what you're supposed to. Yep. Yeah, you're unreliable. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's no good. There was a couple French assignments that never got handed in, I'll be honest. Yeah, well, anyways. Let's move on from that. Yeah, distractions take you away from the task at hand. Yeah. How do we get distracted? Like, how does that happen? The main thing, yep. But right, you get. Okay. Okay. She just told you to not take it. Just drop it. It's okay. Yeah. I learned one very important phrase, and this I learned a little bit later, but it's helpful. When you encounter people from Quebec, or we were on a trip and we've met some people from France, I think, I forget. I just said, je ne comprends pas le français, and I said it very like French. It just means I don't understand French, so sorry. You know, it's all you need to know. It worked. So, but yeah, distractions. Why do we get distracted? And try and keep me on focus this morning. Don't let me get too distracted. But why do we get distracted? Like, usually when we get distracted, it's because we know that we have a greater goal and we want that thing, right? We want to attain that thing. Like, I want to learn the violin, right? But when I'm practicing, I don't actually practice the things I'm supposed to practice. I want to practice to learn how to play songs from video games. And so it's a little bit of a distraction, I'll be honest. It's not exactly helpful when I should be doing bars and I'm doing the Legend of Zelda soundtrack, right? It doesn't teach me what I'm supposed to learn. It's still fun, but it's distracting. Why was it distracting for me? Yeah, my own self, yeah, selfishness, yeah. Yeah, it's something. Right. Right, yeah, I'll only ever know that one song if I don't actually learn the bars and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I'm distracted because I enjoy that thing, or I'm scared I'm going to miss out. Like, maybe I won't be as dedicated, and this is really all I want to learn the violin for, is how to play fun songs. Right? So maybe I should just learn the fun song first instead of learning how to play the violin. Does that make sense? Not really. It kind of does. You kind of get where I'm coming from, but at the same time, it doesn't really make sense, does it? There should be kind of an order to things. You got to learn how to play before you can, like, actually play it, right? Let's see. I had this really interesting quote that I wanted to read you. It's from a gentleman named Ronald Rollheiser, and it's from his book called The Holy Longing. Came out in 99, so, wow, 20 years ago. Maybe you'll relate to this a little bit. I kind of relate to this. It says, we want to be a saint, but we also want to feel every sensation experienced by sinners. We want to be innocent and pure, but we also want to be experienced and taste all of life. We want to serve the poor and have a simple lifestyle, but we also want all the comforts of the rich. We want to have the depth afforded by solitude, but we also do not want to miss anything. We want to pray, but we also want to watch television, read, talk to friends, and go out. It's a small wonder that life is so often a trying enterprise, and that we are often tired and pathologically overextended. Can you relate to that at all? I found that I kind of could in some ways. You know, we want that deep solitude, that depths of solitude, but we also don't want to miss out on anything. I feel like oftentimes that's how I get distracted. It's like, I don't want to miss out on the thing. There's something fun going on over there. Can I be part of it? Right? Am I the only one? No? Okay. I'm the only one who does it that way. Anyways, let's just move on. But that's where distraction comes from. It comes from us, I think, a lot of times fearing that we're going to miss out on something. And we talked last week about fear, right? And that God doesn't use fear, really. It's the beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, we talked about, right? But not necessarily the fear of missing out. Unless it's on God's plan, maybe. Yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep chugging along here. Deuteronomy here. It says, when the officers have finished speaking to the people, they shall appoint commanders of armies at the head of the people. And so it's not until all these people who are distracted have been asked to leave that they appoint the leaders of these armies. I thought that was really interesting, right? And so the priests come before the people and say, you know, are you worried? Are you stressed? Are you faint-hearted? Like, it's okay, you can go. We're not mad. You know, go and dedicate your home. Don't worry, I'm not telling you to leave. This is for the Israelites. Okay, but then he says they appointed leaders after that. I just thought that was interesting that we wait until we know who's dedicated, who's going to be here for the long haul, whose mind is focused on what needs to happen. And isn't that the truth of kind of how the world works? If you're entrusting somebody with something, you're really hoping that they're going to focus on getting that task done, aren't you? People with kids, you ask them to do a job, and you hope that that job is the first one to get done, not the fourth one after Mario or whatever else is on the list, right? Right? That happens. I know it happened to me as a kid, so sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this. Yeah. What are some distractions for you? Some distractions that you have or that you deal with? Anybody? TV? Cell phones. You know what? I heard a pastor the other day, and he said something really funny, and I loved it. He was like, Tiff, do you have your iPhone? Can I borrow it? Oh, I can use mine. It's fine. He said the iPhone X has this really cool feature. It has this button on the side, and if you hold it down, this menu pops up, and you just push the button, and this awesome thing happens. It powers off. Right? And I was like, yes, you're right. Oh, there is a button on the side that turns off my phone. I actually kind of forgot. Right? It just stays on. And it's just there kind of beckoning you and calling you all the time. Right? What other things are distractions? Other tasks? Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes they're good. You know, sometimes it's like your kids come up and they're like, Mom, I'm hungry. You know, it's like you ate an hour ago, but okay, sure. If you're hungry, I can make you something. You know, that's what happens when you're a parent. But yeah, sometimes it can be trying, yeah. What other distractions do we face? For you. I feel like these are good for us to talk about maybe for some of us. Toys? Sure. So when you should, what's that? You're what? Oh, you get distracted while you're doing them, or they're a distraction, like you work on them all year? Oh, okay. Mm. I try and get those done as quick as possible. I want to forget about it. Yeah, toys. That's an interesting one. I've noticed that sometimes when I ask my kids to clean their rooms, that I come in and their room looks the same, but there's more toys out because they've decided, oh, I had this toy out. I was playing with it. That was fun. I should play with it some more while I'm cleaning. But then more come out. You know, you've had kids, most of you. And if you don't, you have siblings. Yeah. What else are distractions? Phone calls, yeah, in the middle of things. Breakdowns, yeah, for sure. Let's jump into some biblical distractions, some people who were distracted in the Bible. Luke 10, verse 38, it says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, right? She's making supper for Jesus, so she's kind of like, this is a big deal, right? And that makes sense, I get it. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. She's making a presumption that Jesus is A, really hungry, and B, really worried about the people with him getting fed. And I don't think he's worried about either. I think he's worried about the bigger mission, isn't he? About telling people about his love. I think Jesus is the kind of guy who could wait for supper to show up whenever. Right? But he just wants to tell people about how much God loves them. And so this is the answer we all know that he gave, but she wasn't expecting. But the Lord answered to her and said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. Right? He could see it. He could see it in her face. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Right? And so Mary, could you imagine being Martha in this situation? Have you ever been Martha in this type of situation? The hostess with the mostess, who's stressed beyond belief? I'm not looking at my wife. And and you know, your person who's supposed to be helping you is just sitting, visiting. And you're like, can you come help me, please? Maybe kids, you've seen this in your house. Come help, please. Right? It happens. And sometimes, I'm not saying don't go help. I'm saying go help. It's good. You don't have Jesus at the house. I mean, you do, but you know what I'm saying. Gotta watch what I say here today. But he says that Mary has chosen the good part, right? And that's to sit at Jesus' feet and to focus on what he has to give her and what he has to impart and the wisdom that he has and the joy that he has to give her. So how does the enemy use distraction? Because this is what we've been talking about, is how the enemy's tactics to pull us away from God. So how does the enemy use distraction? What will he use to distract you? Your favorite things, yeah. Right, yeah. Cell phones, we said, right? Like, man, that's the worst. It's like I just open my Bible and I like sit down to pray or whatever, and it's like, bing, 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 bing. My phone just goes crazy. It's like, yeah. Anyway, I can't even describe it. It's just this flood of messages. And sometimes it's even my Bible app sending me like 15 things, and I'm like, well, that's helpful, but not all this other stuff. Right? Because once I pick up the phone, then I'm on the phone for like 25 minutes at least. Oh, I should check if anybody posted something fun on Facebook. I don't even go on Facebook, but I mean, I'm still tempted, right? How many people Facebook is a problem? It's a vortex. Yeah, me too. You can't get it. See, you know what, Cecil? I found a flip phone at my house that I had back in the day, and it's on my desk. I was thinking about it the other day. Anyway, how does the enemy use distraction? He'll use whatever he can, won't he? We talked about this. He'll use whatever he can to pull us away from God. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, 35, this I say for your benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and secure, undistracted devotion to the Lord. If you want to look up the context there, 1 Corinthians 7, he's talking about being married or unmarried. And he said, it's okay if you want to be unmarried. Because sometimes your spouse will be a distraction from the Lord. And I'm not going to get too into that, but that's something, right? There's all kinds of ways that the enemy wants to use things that he wants to use as distractions. I want you to listen to this audio clip for a second. This is from a book called The Screwtape Letters. I used to listen to this book every couple years. I haven't in a little while. But I'll explain the premise of it and the people voicing it. Anybody seen The Lion King? The movie The Lion King? It's the voice of Scar from The Lion King. And the character that he's playing is basically a tempter, or a demon, I guess you could say. And he's talking to a junior tempter. And I know this seems a little weird to play in church, but just listen. The point of it is to see it kind of from the enemy's perspective and how he wants to manipulate us and what he'll use. So just have a listen.
What is this place?
Have you never taken your patient to the British Museum?
No.
Oh, you should. It can be an invaluable tool if handled properly. Hours lost in reading, in viewing great displays of mankind without thinking for a moment about man, meaning the actual human being standing only a few feet away. But you'll see, with my patient reading on that bench, how it almost went pear-shaped for me. 20 years of work, very nearly lost, all because of one idle thought while visiting this museum.
What idle thought?
Listen.
All these displays and artifacts, all these remnants of history, is this all we have to show for our lives?
Uh-oh.
Yes, and this from a sound atheist. The enemy, of course, was at his elbow in a moment, ready to nurture that thought, to lead the patient to considering disgusting ideas like the mortality of man and the possibility of eternity. If I had lost my head and begun to attempt a defense by argument, I should have been undone, but I was not such a fool. I struck instantly at the part of the man which I had best under my control and suggested it was just about time he had some lunch.
A bacon sandwich.
That hit home for me too, when he said, a bacon sandwich. I was like, oh no, my bacon sandwiches. What does that make you think when you hear that? And you want a bacon sandwich. You know, makes me think, when I was younger, I used to do this thing and my friends would get super annoyed. We'd be driving in the car and they would ask me, we would just start having conversation. And about partway through the conversation, I would get irritated and I would say, shallow or deep? And they would go, what? What are you talking about? And I would say, shallow or deep? Like, what kind of conversation are we going to have? This is a 2-hour drive. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to have a shallow conversation? And they would be like, okay. You know, and then we would talk about these questions like, why are we here? What's the meaning of all this, right? Like, what's the purpose, right? And most of the time, they'd go along with me and have those deeper conversations, and I loved it, you know? But the enemy wants to distract us from those deeper conversations, doesn't he? Wants us to focus on our bacon sandwiches that make our tummies rumble, right? So what are we called to focus on? Thoughts? I guess I kind of gave it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Right? It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day stuff. And to focus on it so much that that becomes our reality. And forget about the eternal reality that we live within. Right? Let's listen to one more clip here.
A bacon sandwich.
The enemy presumably made the counter suggestion. You know how one can never quite overhear what he says to them. That line of thought, is this all we have to show for our lives? At least I think that must have been his line, for I said to the patient, quite. In fact, much too important to tackle at the end of a morning.
True.
much better to come back after lunch and go into it with a fresh mind.
Of course. Right. There's a lovely cafe just around the corner.
Once he was in the streets, the battle was won. I showed him a newsboy shouting the midday paper and a number 73 bus going past, and before he reached the bottom of the steps, I had got into him an unalterable conviction that whatever odd ideas might come into a man's head when he was shut up in a museum with his readings, a healthy dose of real life...
Meaning the bus and the newsboy.
Precisely, was enough to show him how all that sort of thing just couldn't be true.
Called to focus on real life or on eternal life? On the things that transcend just this. So how do we fight distraction? How do we fight the enemy on this? It's easy to say just stay focused, but what does that mean? How do we do that when there's so many things that can pull us away from what God has or what God wants, the joy for us that he has or the victory that he has for us? It's funny, I had less slides, but it feels like we're going a bit slower today. Let's get through here. It says in Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Right? If we seek his kingdom first, all the things that we worry about today aren't gonna matter. They're not gonna be a distraction if we focus on who he is and what he has for us, trusting that it's good. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Right? Even in our work, working as if we're working for God. To take away from the distraction of working for a paycheck, right? Working just to get something greater for ourselves, but working because we have the opportunity to pour into the people at our works or people that we work around. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life. You know, focusing on trusting him when he says that he came that we may have life. It's easy to get distracted when we're afraid that we're going to miss out on something. When we're afraid that we're going to miss something fun or miss something that, you know, that's going on somewhere else when we're on our knees praying. Going to miss out on a red dot on my app icon that means that somebody messaged me or I have a notification when I could be praying, or I could be learning about who God is and how much he loves me. Yeah, let's end there. Let's find our focus at his feet. Can we sing one more song quick? Is Paula and Brent, I guess? Is that okay if we sing Love Has a Name? Just to finish this off here. We're called to find our focus in him, to find his presence. Yeah. Well, let's sing and then we'll finish up here.
There's a space in every beating heart. There's a longing that reaches past the stars. There's an answer to every question mark. There's a name. There's a hope flowing through these. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand. There's a joy that triumphs over fear. There's a laughter that wipes away our tears. There's a presence that changes atmospheres. There's a name.
It's the easiest victory that we can win. When I say that, you know, we go and we fight, really what we're called to do is just rest in Him. Just to sit at His feet and accept the victory that has already been given us. And just to focus on the things that He promises us. Focus on the hope and the victory and the life and the love that He's given us. Rest in the joy that we have in Him. It's not as scary of a battle as the Israelites had to face. If we just sit at his feet and rest, we've already won. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the love and the joy you give us and the victory that we have over the enemy. Lord, help us to overcome the distractions in our life. Lord, turn off our phones if need be. God, help us just to be more and more, just pursue you more and more, and God, just get into your presence. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Let's go be a church that's, let's go be the church that's at the feet of Jesus.